Good morning. Welcome to Pathways Podcast.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is June 15th, 2022.
That's right.
And I'm back.
Episode 133.
Yeah.
And you're back.
I missed you guys.
Welcome
last week.
Back. We missed
Welcome
you too.
Back
in the saddle again.
All kinds
We're
of songs
already
going
singing.
On
there. You're welcome.
Back.
20 seconds in.
20 seconds in. That's right.
Everybody's gone.
There you go. They're like, oh, we've heard it all.
So how was your guys' weekend? I was away this weekend. I did make it back for Sunday.
You did. Yeah.
The message and service and
yeah.
I was in Branson Wednesday through Saturday.
Had a good little vacation.
It was a trip. It wasn't a vacation.
Trip.
Because the kids went with us. It's my first Branson.
How was the kids' vacation?
Yeah. The kids' vacation. They had a blast.
Of course they did.
They had a blast. They did go-karts. They did mini golf. They went swimming. They got to go to a couple of shows.
I do have to say that I asked Gideon on Sunday. I was like, Gideon, what was your favorite part of vacation? And do you know what he told me?
No.
The hotel room.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Did you go to
the hotel?
We stayed at an indoor water park hotel.
Oh, yeah,
and
there you go.
So the kids had their own little clubhouse with bunk beds.
That
so
is
kinda
fun.
Cool. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
so,
but it was
all
good.
The things you do, and that's the favorite.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Well, at least he didn't say, like, I don't know, the van ride or something. That was 7 hours down with three kids.
Yeah.
But it was good. We saw they have a sight and sound theater there where they do Bible stories every year, and we saw the story of Jesus, which is what they're doing right now, and it was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of money and time and effort they put into it, it was outstanding. Live animals in the show. They had camels marching down the aisle, horses, sheep, goats. I mean, it was worth the trip there. It was really good. Most of my kids were interested the entire time. There was one that was laying crossways in the seat and wound up I had to hold him on my lap.
Hold him.
But no, it was
not
really
to guess
good.
Which one?
It was really good, but I did miss you guys.
We missed you too.
Did you guys do anything exciting while I was gone?
Oh, we did a podcast.
Oh.
So
that's always exciting.
It was exciting.
Yeah.
That's right.
Harken back to the early days
that's
of the
right.
podcast with just Marcy and I.
That's right. Yep. We did get over here, though, and we were like, oh, we should have put Aaron on a stick. We did not have Aaron on
we
a
had
stick.
The mullet.
So
we
did
had
have
the mullet.
Mullet
the badge.
Yeah.
But
in the center there.
Yep.
Aaron on a stick does not exist.
We needed to make it exist. But
is there a Marcy on a stick?
Marcy's on a box. So there's Steve on a stick right over there, and I think Marcy's on a box in Jen's office.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's good to know.
That's right. So we need Aaron on a stick.
Yeah.
But
some other exciting things that have happened this week is summer camp.
Summer camp, yes.
Summer
Do you
camp
like my
started.
Shirt? I'm like all ready for summer camp.
Yeah,
that's right.
The Hawaiian shirt's for summer camp.
The Hawaiian shirt is for summer camp.
And that's your son's shirt.
Sure.
Your youngest son.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It is Nick's. Yes. I did borrow it without asking. So thank you, Nick.
I'm sure he watches the podcast.
Yeah.
So he'll
right.
Be
he'll find out right away.
So, what's the story of him having a Hawaiian shirt?
This was his for Easter.
Okay.
So yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Had the Hawaiian shirts
I
for
just
Easter.
I thought maybe that kids today are getting Hawaiian shirts because they're cool.
Literally.
Nathan does wear one every now and then, but yeah, we did get them for Easter, and so
maybe I should use the word stylish.
Stylish.
But summer camp's been going on.
It's been great.
Good. My kids come
been.
Home every night.
It's so
and
much fun.
Talk about how much fun they had. And,
yep.
It's been
we
good
were,
for them.
We were we just couldn't resist staff meeting yesterday.
Yes.
Knocking around
That's
the
right.
big beach ball. That thing's heavier than it looks.
It is heavier than it looks. No one is sore today. That's not true.
We
eventually had to stop
it's
using
terrible.
The large beach ball because
right.
I think people
were
starting to wear down.
Let's try the small one. So that worked out
first
well.
Thing Marcy says to me today, I said, how you doing?
No,
I'm
no, that's not
sore.
What you said. You said, you look really tired today. And I was like, actually, I'm really sore.
That's always great when somebody initiates conversation with you. All right, you don't look good.
You look tired.
Hey, we're all about a culture of truth.
That's right. That's right. Transparency, a little honesty there. That's right. So.
Well,
but yes, it's been a great week. It's been so much fun to bring in the kids every night, and had so many leaders step up and help out. And so, yeah, it's just fun to be able to provide that for the kids and have that experience. So,
yeah, and what, 70 some kids here?
Somewhere around there. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been good.
Good deal.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's get into the message.
Let's do.
Colossians 2.
Colossians 2. That's right. Yeah. Aaron might have thought it was Colossians 3, but it's not. It's Colossians 2.
Aaron? It was simply a question. I'm looking forward to Colossians 3. I think I've enjoyed the sermon series so much that I'm really looking forward to what comes next.
That's right.
But I'm glad you have your notes today,
Marcy. I do have my notes. Yes, I did have a little trouble getting my notes pulled up. I found them. They were there, and then I lost them, and then Aaron found them. So
technology is hard.
I'm telling you, I struggled.
I pushed the folder icon and found them.
I don't even know where that's at.
Okay.
So I'm gonna have to work with that a little bit, but they are.
I'm available tomorrow if you need help.
Right.
We'll talk later. So, mindsets.
Yeah.
Talking about our mindsets, and it was Colossians 2,
9 through 23. That's what I have written down. Is that what you would have said? 9 through 23?
Is that what you would say, Steve?
Yes.
Yep,
Steve
that's
says
what I would
9
say.
Through 23.
A little going back to 9 and 10, kind of
looking at those
rehashing
again.
A little bit where we left off.
Yeah.
But the new, starting with verse 11, was kind of new for this Sunday. But
yep.
Yeah. No, that's a big part of it.
And you went into, you know, you've talked about mindset and even the battle in the mind before, but, you know, you asked the question, do I think victoriously?
Right.
And that's a good question. I think all of us should be asking ourselves, because I think, and especially, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but the seasons that we've come through, it's so easy to get into a negative mindset, a defeated mindset, a divisive mindset, and you went into that too, talking
about
teams.
Absolutely.
But you know, go into what does it take to have a mindset where we can consistently think victoriously?
Well, I think that I think that it's kind of interesting because everybody acts so surprised when bad things happen. And, you know, I think there's an inevitability to that, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me, I think the key to victorious thinking is when you personally fail, you get back up and you keep going. You don't go into this spiral that just takes you down and takes you out. Mm-hmm. You have this perseverance mindset. And as things happen around you, you know, you can't be shocked by that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's always interesting to me when people get real negative, they talk about things. And, you know, when somebody talks negatively to me about something, my whole attitude is kind of like, yeah. And, you know, what does that mean? I mean, obviously there's things that have to be dealt with. There's things that have to be, you know, changed and all along the line. But at the same time, why do we act shocked? You know, why do we, if it weren't for bad things and the bad condition that we were in, we wouldn't need a savior. So it all stems, but for me, it's like, how do you identify, you know, what's your identity? And one of the big issues I really wanted to push in the message is you need to form your identity around Jesus because he's the one that's actually victorious. So it's not that we're victorious. Mm-hmm. It's that we are in Christ victorious.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, you know, the key to the victorious mindset is just claiming that reality for yourself. Mm-hmm. The analogy that I used that I got from Francis Chan, don't know if he made it up, but I thought it was great. So I gave him credit for it. Was the analogy of, you know, how a caterpillar metamorphosizes into a butterfly. Somehow, some way, when the caterpillar emerges as a butterfly, it knows that it can fly. You know, we tend to go through the process, the transformational process of the gospel and, you know, the circumcision of the heart that we talked about in text. But yet, because we only know how to live as a caterpillar, we, rather than flying, we just continue to live as a caterpillar. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you need to take on your new identity in Christ.
Right.
And Paul makes this huge part, this huge point of that in the text, because if you don't know who you are, mm-hmm. and if you don't have a victorious mindset, you're subject mm-hmm. to false teaching.
Right.
You're subject to deception. Mm-hmm. And you're subject to manipulation. Mm-hmm. You're subject to all kinds of things that mislead you. So he makes it a very, very big point of you need to know who you are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you need to know who Christ is. Mm-hmm. So that's the big idea. And another part that's in that is that we as people don't get to decide who the others are, mm-hmm. right? And so it's all a big part of it. And that's one of the reasons why I went into the Kung Fu Panda video.
Because right.
It was like, you know, if you watch that movie, the whole movie, everybody's like, this panda is pathetic. You know, why? And then in the panda, the Kung Fu Panda, can't think remember what his name is in the movie, but he's supposed to be the answer.
Po.
He's supposed to be the solution to everybody's problems. He's like the dragon warrior, right? And everybody's like, he's not the dragon warrior. He can't possibly. but that's who he was inside. It just needed an opportunity to come out. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously, we're not moving in like humanism or Eastern spiritualism,
right?
But it is a Christian concept mm-hmm. that there's more to you than what you realize.
Right.
And Christ is the one who decides what that is. But you have to identify mm-hmm. with Jesus.
Yeah.
So that was that. And, you know, just to kind of build on it, I didn't go into this on Sunday, but one of the biggest challenges for me going into ministry was just accepting the fact that that's who I was. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of it, because I just didn't see myself in the position that I'm presently in. And mm-hmm. I couldn't identify with that.
Yeah.
But that's what I was called to do. Mm-hmm. So you've always got that strange dichotomy that's going on in that process.
Yeah. And I think, you know, your story, and I think a lot of us have similar stories, like in that journey, and you talk about mindset and how important it is in our mindset. So as Christians, we are going to have challenges. We are going mm-hmm. to have hiccups, bumps in the road. Mm-hmm. What, you know, we might see as a failure or others might see as a failure. But if our mindset is okay, this is maybe this is a challenge, but it's not a failure. What's the lesson that I'm being taught here? What? How am I being molded? How am I being shaped? Mm-hmm. And when we have that mindset versus, oh, I failed, and mm-hmm. it spirals down, and you see people that, and we've talked to people recently that had some bumps,
yeah,
and they kind of let it spiral down to where they disconnected, and maybe yeah. didn't see, you know, how God was working through that, but yet they came out of it too, right? So they said, okay, we saw that God was working through this, and we knew we needed to get back. We needed to get yeah. connected. Mm-hmm. And so it is a mindset of like, okay, the challenges, the failures that the world might see as failures, they're not failures. My God is working in me. It's molding me. It's shaping me. It's sanctifying me. It's helping me become stronger. It's the refining process, talking about, you know, how
right.
gold, mm-hmm. you know, they're
not over hardening. It's not yeah. making you too flexible.
The tempering process,
should be tempering
right?
you just right.
Yeah.
Right. But it again, it goes back to a mindset and what you choose to do in the midst of that and after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
One of the other things that you talked about on Sunday was thinking about your aunts, your automatic negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I think that as we become more self-aware of what is my automatic thought, what is my automatic pattern, what's my automatic default that I go to or I have been going to, and I think the more we become aware of that, the more that we can take that thought captive and replace it with truth. And then the more we can walk in victory, like you're talking about, because that all, it's just kind of that domino effect. Like when we identify those lies and we can replace them with truth and walk forward in that, then that's how we walk in victory. And we don't see a failure as the world sees a failure. We see it as, okay, how's God inviting me to grow in this? And how do I move forward in it instead?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's this week or last week, because obviously they run together as far as the text is concerned, but you really need to try to figure out. So arrogance is is a detriment. Confidence is an asset, and arrogance is a liability. And so you really never know which one you're dealing with until you're challenged, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's got to be this coachability. Mm-hmm. In the whole process. And that, that's the key to it. Doesn't mean that maybe initially you won't have like some pushback to what's being said to you, but simultaneously, if you're committed and you have a victorious mindset, you're kind of committed to what you're becoming,
right?
More so than what you are. And that's a big challenge. And they always say the most successful people kind of maintain that coachable mindset. And that's a victorious mindset. It really is. And it's, it's when we become kind of adversely opposed to criticism. Now, again, I say that because I say that with reservation, because you got to have confidence in what you're doing. And criticism, when you reach a place of leadership and influence, criticism is out there all the time. And so, you have to be able to kind of manage that, listen to some of it, try to determine what is appropriate and what is just flat out negative criticism. And you have to work your way through that. But the only way you can do that is to have a good sense of who you are and why you're there.
Right. Yeah. And even a team of people around you who are willing to tell you the truth.
Yeah. You've got to have a team around you, and you've got to have people that you trust that will tell you the truth.
But there's a humility in that too, right? Absolutely. You have to be willing to hear what those you've given influence to in your life. You have to be willing to hear what they tell you.
Yeah.
You talked about automatic negative thoughts. Why don't we have automatic positive thoughts?
You want to know? You want the psychological answer to that? Because it wasn't that long ago that, a few thousand years ago, where it was dangerous to live. And so for example, you're out in the woods, right? And you're vulnerable. You're going to pay attention to that rustling in the leaves, and you're going to assume that it's something dangerous.
It's a survival mechanism.
It's a survival mechanism. And so the problem is now we live in a society where there's still danger, but it's relatively easy. And so we still have, in the past where we may have been more concerned about just surviving the day. Now we go to this place where we just have this negative mechanism in our thinking that's a survival reaction that now just gets morphed into like anxiety and worry and critical of ourselves. And it just doesn't have really like a channel to go. And rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to change the way we think and fixing, why do you think the Bible says fix your thoughts and all that is honorable, noble, pure, and true? Because God created us, knows that that's not what we fix our thoughts on.
When you become aware of the negative thoughts, and I've heard it called playing the tape out, right? So you're given information and then you start to assume things, or and like email and text is the worst, right? So you start reading it with a negative tone. If you can master the recognition of that negative tape or those negative thoughts and cut it off, man, it saves you so much. I don't want to say heartache, but just like negativity. And if you can cut it off, like I remember one time, I had a coworker and he was like, "Hey, read this email from this person." And he's reading it to me. He's like, "Blah, blah, blah," and he's reading it with this really negative tone. I'm like, "Maybe you should read it with a positive tone. Try this." And I'm like, and he's like, "Get out of here.
Yeah, you're annoying. You annoying, positive, victorious thinker."
Yeah. But it totally spun the email.
That's and, actually
right.
Okay, so now you're getting into. That's why I hate text and email.
Mm-hmm.
I used to design email servers for a living, and I used to sell technology to companies. One of the things that I've realized is that you're going to read an email with whatever tone mm-hmm. that you have. So you can, you know how much trouble I've gotten into because people have misinterpreted my emails?
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I do? I just talk to people. Mm-hmm. I just talk to them. And if there's something that people need, like a list or something, put that in an email. But never have a constructive conversation via email. Never.
Right.
Because somebody's going to just, they're going to interpret that in whatever mood they're in. And before long, they've spun it into this big negative thing. And that was not your intention at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, right. yeah.
I think, too, one of the big things in that is that we can make up the story in our head and we can think on our assumptions and assume people's motives and all of the things with that. But if you would just go to them and have a 30-second conversation, you can clear up so much and realize, oh, that wasn't their intent. That wasn't their motive. That wasn't – and it's done.
And,
and you don't stew on it in your head for a very long time. It's done.
I agree. And so. I would also say that you need to allow people to accrue positive balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because for some people, they just keep everybody a negative balance or at an even balance, which means – anytime something bad happens, it's automatically a negative,
mm-hmm.
and it's a negative. But you know, when you've had a relationship with somebody, and right. let's say they walk in your office one day and they're having a bad day, and you don't know that, and then they say something that bothered you, or in a tone that bothered you, that moment does not define a person that you've had a relationship with.
Right.
Right.
And that's one of the weird things that I see happen too, is that so many people, and the only explanation for that is you just keep everybody, nobody can get to a positive balance.
Right.
Nobody can get a little extra money in the bank so that when a negative transaction happens, it doesn't put you at negative. It just puts you, you know, it just moves the balance down a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the way you have to be with people.
Yeah.
And
marriage is a good picture of that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. If I was defined by one moment in time, like I would fail every day. Like, why would my wife want to be around?
You get people that are in a point where they're just waiting. They're just waiting for you to do something,
mm-hmm.
and then it's like, oh, there it is.
There it is.
There it is.
Now
you know, it took 2 weeks to get here, but you know what? Here we are, and you're just like, no, wait a minute. What about the other 2 weeks?
Right.
You know, so victorious mindset. Mm-hmm. You've got to be wise about the way that you deal with people. And let me tell you, let me just tell you the biggest secret of all. If you keep everybody even, and you're waiting for something negative to happen, something negative always happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, humans are not perfect. Nobody is. And it's just no way to live. You've got to be filled with grace.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to, you know, you've got to give people an opportunity to accrue a positive balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's just really interesting. And it is something that you deal with a lot in leadership. Yeah. So I always remember Kevin Corbering told me, you know, he was talking about leadership, and he said, you know, leadership in a church, he used the bank account analogy too, and he said it's literally like you can wipe out the entire account in one transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But it is the way that it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is you don't want to be that person that leadership can wipe out an account one transaction.
Right.
Or anybody for that matter,
mm-hmm.
especially your spouse.
Because mm-hmm.
that can be exhausting if you're on the other end of it.
Yep.
And eventually people are like, you know, I can't win anyway, so I'm just going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it goes. But I mean, that's kind of the key. That's kind of the key to victorious thinking. And the other thing I'd tell you too is that if you follow the principle of compounded, you know, the whole idea of, you know, the way that things compound is that if you go down a negative path, it'll probably kind of be mostly okay initially. But these things exponentially compound. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And over time, it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. And so sometimes people can find themselves down the road a ways before mm-hmm. they realize,
right.
you know what, I made a big mistake. Mm-hmm. But the way you get back on it is humility. And you just say, you know what, I made a big mistake and I need to grow. I need to get back to what's right and dust myself off and get back on track.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's victorious thinking.
It is. It definitely is. So, yeah.
And you gave us three action steps mm-hmm. to be free and live in victory. And I actually had to redo them because I thought I had three in your first one. But actually, the first three
things you listed. I had that same thing, too. I thought I had two. And I was like, oh, that was only one.
Yeah. So, number one, be affirming and encouraging. So, you had spoken the week before about find someone, be encouraging, be affirming to another believer. And actually, I had somebody do that to me on Sunday. They were like, hey, I listened to Steve's message, and it reminded me, I wanted to encourage you in this area. And I was encouraged.
Yeah.
That's good.
It was good. And so the other couple parts of that is be strong in the word mm-hmm. and worship the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That forms your identity.
Yep.
And action step number two, resist and refuse all substitutes to the truth. Mm-hmm. And action step number three, live from victory.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote down the question, when was the last time I took a risk in faith for God? Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Yeah. Do you want to answer that question, Mercy?
I don't. When was the last time you took a risk in faith for God?
I asked you first. oh man, a risk in, you know, I can see different moments throughout my life. There's the big ones and then there's kind of the daily ones too, you know, of little small risks. Like, I feel like I need to have a conversation with this person. It's going to be a hard conversation, but it still needs to happen. Or, you know, I really want to, reach out to this person, see how I can pray for him. I'm a little nervous to do that because I don't know him that well. Those are like small risks, but the big risks of like, you know, stepping into ministry, mm-hmm. leading a class, taking classes, you mm-hmm. know.
Putting yourself in the fishbowl.
Right.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you know, and that's a pretty big risk.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, if you look at it that way, let's say, so you jump into something and maybe it doesn't turn out the way that you think it does. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could tell yourself, well, that was a failure. But if the point is the risk mm-hmm. of faith, then you can't
really
lose.
Right. A failure.
No matter what
you're
happens.
Still victorious. Right.
You're still victorious. It's like, you know what? It wasn't all for nothing. Mm-hmm. I learned something through the whole process. I grew in the process.
Yeah.
So the next time it happens, I'll be that much stronger.
I think that as you do step out and you do take those risks, that it makes it easier in the future. And that's how we grow,
you
know, as we move in obedience. But yet from our perspective, it's like, oh, this feels like a big risk. This mm-hmm. feels like, what if this or this and this happens, right? Like we can make up that whole story in our head. And it's like, no, when you do it and you step out in faith, you grow. And suddenly maybe you find yourself doing something that you're like, oh, this used to feel like this was a big step. This was a big risk. This was way out of my comfort zone. And now it doesn't feel like it's as much out of my comfort zone. It's, you know,
and
so I think that's how we grow though.
Yeah.
That's a big part of how we grow.
We have so many stories in this church mm-hmm. of people that have taken risks and everything from maybe volunteering at children's ministry or all of a sudden greeting people, you know, that's their first step in serving. And, you know, but also we've seen people take risks and, talking about, you know, failure can be, is it really failure? Is it victorious? God allows us to take risks and we're obedient in those risks only to show us, you know what, this isn't the path
right.
I want you to take, but he had to show us that.
Right.
Otherwise, we'd constantly try to pursue it.
Yep.
And so, man, there's just so many stories in this church of people that have taken risks. You know, I even think about all of our children's ministry mm-hmm. leaders that are doing the summer camp and, you know, the Fierce Faith concert, the people mm-hmm. that started that. That's a risk.
Yep.
But they did it.
You know, in the parable of the talents that Jesus tells, he does not. So we obviously have people that take what they're given and they invest it, and one person invests it and he earns tenfold and the other one's fivefold. So the point was not that you earned the tenfold. The point was that you did something did with something. What you were giving.
Yes.
The one that he chastised was the person that buried it in the ground and said, you know, I knew you were harsh and I didn't dare risk you know, what you gave me.
Right. But and here then, it is. I didn't lose anything.
Yeah, I didn't lose anything, but I didn't risk anything. And, and Jesus said that the shrewd manager's like, you know what? I'm going to take what you have, what you were given. I'm going to give it to the people that are risking. And, you know, that's a massive deal. And, you know, one of the things, so we have a lot of conversations in our culture today about, you know, equality or what they call equity. So equity of opportunity, equity of outcome. So a lot of people want to have equity in the outcome. And the problem with that is that, and I think everybody should be given opportunities, but the problem is the outcome is determined by your willingness to persevere. And not everybody has the same willingness.
Right.
And, you know, some people, they get negative and they, or maybe they go to kind of a victim mindset and they go to this, oh, woe is me. And, you know, I can't do this and blah, 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 blah. But other people are like, I'm going to grow. I'm going to push through. And they achieve a degree of success. And so, you know, it's, you can't guarantee outcomes because that's up to the individual.
Right.
And that's really a big deal. So try to find me one person that's quote unquote successful in our society today, however you want to define it. And if you sat down with them and said, tell me about all the times, all the hard times that you persevered through anyway, they will have an endless story of all those things. And that's just one of the key ingredients. Yep. So
that's good.
Very good. Next week, or actually this Sunday, Colossians 3.
That's right. 4 days.
4 days.
4 days.
4 days.
That's right.
I don't know how you know that. But.
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
It's always 4 days.
It's Wednesday. So you and me, this Thursday, tomorrow, because today's Wednesday, are going down to a gathering. Of churches for the Sending Network.
Sending Network. First official gathering.
Yeah. First official gathering.
Today is, so part of the behind the scenes legalities that went on with us leaving the denominations, there's a 20-day period of where somebody can file an appeal to the whole process. I didn't anticipate that happening, but tomorrow is the 21st day.
So it's all official then.
It's all official, and we're going to have a gathering of leaders and staff. It's just our first gathering, we'll need to be doing – so I'll be ordained. Marcy's going to be ordained.
I am.
She passed the interview, I heard.
I did pass
She passed the interview.
The interview.
But you didn't have to interview.
Well, no, I'm on the board. I passed that interview a long time ago. So, but all the pastors and ministers and leaders that commissioned, ordained, will be ordained by the Sending Network, and but it'll just be a gathering and building that network between the churches. So there will be five churches represented.
And what five churches are those?
It's Third Church in Pella. It's First Church in Pella. It's Celebrate Church in Knoxville, us, and Central Reformed in Oskaloosa.
All right.
So
sounds like a good group.
Oh, man. You know, such a blessing. You know, one of the key ingredients of the Sending Network, obviously we have, you know, a theological position. We have some core tenets of what we believe in. But the underlying thing that we're trying, we want to be family and friends. You know, everything we used to do was so, you know, you had business and it was all about the revenues of the church and, you know, assessments, and you had regional synods and general synods and all the assessments that go with that. And, you know, it's just, you know, it just kind of sucks the life out of things. And what we want to do is we want to celebrate what God is doing in our midst. And we want to create a network of friends and family that can, you know, encourage each other and learn from each other.
Yeah.
Right. Share ideas. And kind of the bigger idea. So obviously the pastors have formed a friendship network. But you know, even like, you know, like Marcy is a discipleship director. How great would it be if there was like a fellowship just among the discipleship directors? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jen is the services manager, the services director. You know, she can talk to other people with similar responsibilities and they can share ideas and they can celebrate what God's doing. And, you know, all facets of ministry, children ministry, youth leaders, you know, mm-hmm. Office managers, mm-hmm. you know, all of these people, CFOs, financial directors of operations, things like that. You know, not every church has that, but they have somebody that works somewhere in that capacity.
Right.
And it just is a great support thing. And so a lot of that begins. And the reason why it's leaders and staff members is because that's really what we're trying to cultivate there. Mm-hmm. I think there will be just open gatherings in the future where congregants could go. The only problem with that is you never really know how many that's going to be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be, you know, there might be 20 people from the way that go, or there might be 200. And then you multiply that across every church. We just don't know. So it's a little harder to get the congregations together, but the congregations have to know that, you know, God really is doing something mm-hmm. and it's really awesome mm-hmm. and it's great to be a part of.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and we'll, you know, in the future, we'll be continuing to ordain people. Like, who knows, someday when you get through the commission pastor process, you'll be ordained, in different capacities, but all these things are changing, mm-hmm. Whether it's through the sending network or by the church itself. Mm-hmm. All of these are options that we have as we go forward for leadership development. So it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's exciting. The future is
excited about it. Yeah.
Bright.
Good.
Yeah. And so it's really good, you know, and of course our old denomination had their general synod this last week. And, you know, it's sad because, you know, I mean, both Marcy and I grew up in the RCA.
Yep, we did.
And so it's sad, but at the same time, it's exciting,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know? So, but, you know, we talked about this through the whole process. It wasn't something we arrived at overnight.
Right.
It was not impulsive by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all.
It is definitely a place where we feel like God is leading us. But, you know, there's still, it's the closing of an old chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So today is that unofficial last day,
mm-hmm.
So to speak, even though we were at the last classes meeting at the end of May. We were voted. Mm-hmm. Our petition to transfer was approved,
mm-hmm.
but then that grace period that follows. So that we've still been in that.
Yep.
Good deal.
Exciting times.
That's right.
Exciting times. Yeah. And I will tell you this, and I'll throw this out there. I don't claim to be a prophet, so, but I do have a feeling that this is going to be a launch pad for what God's going to do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it positions us spiritually in a great place to be a part of the next major move of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I am excited about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Who knows what mm-hmm. that'll be, but it'll be
who
good.
Knows? That's right.
Well, I think to be, who knows the timeline, who knows exactly what it looks like, but I do believe it does start with the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it starts in us.
And just know there could be challenging times ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately, we don't necessarily work well in easy times.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We tend to grow through the adversity.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and we've been through a lot. We've been through a lot of adversity.
Yep.
And I think that, well, again, I'm not a prophet, but I do believe that there is some blessing ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Yeah, lots to look forward to.
A year from now, you can say, I don't know what you were talking about.
What are you talking about?
I haven't seen any of
that. Or you could say,
man, you nailed it.
Look how God has worked. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
And you know, those people around me that know me, I don't throw those things out lightly.
No, you don't.
You know, I go back to, I had this feeling. And I ran it by my pastoral friends, and I think I ran it by staff. I had this feeling that something major was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
something big. I mean, I thought maybe it was going to be a terrorist attack or something like that. And then came 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, wow, that wasn't what I was expecting at all. But it was...
It was huge.
It was huge. It was massive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my first thought was, whatever's going to happen is going to bring a lot of people to the church. Mm-hmm. And then 2020 happened, and it drove a lot of people out of the church.
Right.
And so that's a perfect example of how you can... The feeling is correct, mm-hmm. but what you think is going to happen isn't what happens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now here we are. We're in this place where I feel like there will be this major movement of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so if 2020 was like a negative thing that happened, even though there's a lot of positive that's come out of it, this next movement will be a powerful movement of God mm-hmm. in the Spirit. But I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know what it looks like. But I do, I'm praying about it and I'm anticipating it's going to be something major.
Yeah.
So.
And we get to be a part of it.
We do.
Yeah. It's exciting.
It's good.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
No matter how hard it is, if Jesus is in the middle of it, that's where I want to be.
That's right.
Right.
Absolutely. Right.
So.
Hey, Marcy. That's
good. Hey, what?
Guess what day it is.
It's Wednesday.
It is. And you know what that means.
There's
4 days till Sunday?
That's right. That's right. 4 days till Sunday. But there's no youth group tonight. So.
Oh.
I know. It's summer. Middle school met last week. High school's going on their mission trip next week.
That's exciting.
It is. It's very exciting.
Going down to Kansas City.
They are. Yeah. Yep. Going to go do some work down there and tell people about Jesus and... It's great.
Do they schedule in a little barbecue time when they go down to Kansas City?
They'll do something kind of fun. So whatever that is, I think.
You can't go down to Kansas City without having at least a little barbecue.
What they're going to go do. And yeah, so.
Little Jack Stacks down there.
That's for sure. Yep. So yeah, but it is summer camp. So instead of youth coming in tonight, we'll have all kinds of kids coming in tonight.
We'll still have utes, just not the middle school utes.
Kindergarten through sixth grade. That's right. So if you are listening to this and you have a child who maybe hasn't come on Monday or Tuesday, bring them tonight. So doors open at 5:45. The night starts at 6. It's from 6 to 8. And we would love for those kids to join us so we can plug them into a group. And it's not a problem if they haven't been here on Monday or Tuesday. We're looking forward to a great night tonight. And then tomorrow is family night. So we'll have our family experience night where parents, families can come in together and they're going to go through a summer camp night together as a family. So it's going to be a great message on the fruit of the Spirit. And then they'll get to do their games and crafts and response activities and all of the things. So it's going to be a fun night.
And just so everybody knows, the giant beach ball that Steve was talking about, it did hit a few of the displays yesterday, but the Fruit of the Spirit stand, I think, survived.
The Fruit of the Spirit did survive. I was a little worried about the Tiki Hut, where the snacks are, but it also survived.
Somebody nailed Peter.
Yes.
Peter were
That's right.
Jesus and they went Peter. Down, but then they popped right down. Back up
they
again.
They did pop right back up. That's right.
Victorious
I didn't quite
thinking.
Have the muscle to protect Jesus and Peter. So
help.
It went shoom.
We had to put the taller people
that
in
happened.
Front of Jesus
Steve
and Peter.
Had to move over to that
But I don't
side.
Think it was ironic that the ball sprung a leak after it hit Jesus. We did fix it, though. But
yes. So
Somewhere in the course of events, the ball got a little hole in it, but
it did. Yep. We patched it.
All good.
So summer camp tonight, and then on Sunday services at 9 and 11. But we also have the Fierce Faith Worship Fest on Sunday, so it is from 1 to 4. I think the gates open at noon, I believe, and so you can.
And that's downtown Newton.
It is
right?
Downtown Newton. Yep. That's right. So you can go to their website, buy tickets. And head on over to that. It's going to
you know,
be
one of the advantages
to
have it downtown
afternoon.
Is that, I mean, you will have buildings providing shade.
Yes, it's going to be a hot afternoon, but it's going to be a great afternoon.
You could be on the north side of the courthouse.
Yes, go early and get a spot in the shade.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, that's right. So that is on Sunday. And then the next week, we actually have quite a few discipleship things that are starting for summer. So the Spirit-led work ministry that Julie Jones is leading, they meet once a month. And Monday is the night that they're going to meet. And then Tuesday, we are going to start the Bible study of Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table, which is based on a book by Louis Giglio. And so I was actually excited about your message on Sunday. I was listening and I was like, oh, this goes right along with this Bible study that we're starting. starting with this whole, you know, how do we give the enemy a seat at our table? What are our automatic negative thoughts? And how does that all spiral down from there? And so and how just do we take record, those thoughts captive? And
just for the record, and we are well aware of the degree to which that is a battle within our church.
Right.
And, you know, so if you're sitting there thinking that, you know, I battle negative thoughts and I'm probably the only person in the church, you are not.
Mm-hmm.
We all do it. Everybody does it.
Yep.
And, but we also know that it's just a challenge that we have in our midst. And so, you know, I mean, so don't feel like there's a stigma attached to it.
Yeah.
Don't feel like, well, I have any negative thoughts, but I don't want anybody to know about it. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? We know about it.
Right.
It's just a question of what we all are willing to do about it. Because we all have it. Every one of us has it. And just want to encourage people in that.
How many weeks is that study?
It is a 6-week study.
6 weeks.
Yep. So it starts next Tuesday at 6:30. You can register online, find more information there. Books and workbooks are available at Choices Christian Living Store Uptown, so you can go up there to get those. You can also go to Choices to get an Everyday Theology book, which is the Bible study that the women's ministry is going to be doing. And they usually meet on Thursdays, but over the summer, they're going to meet on Wednesdays. And so they start next Wednesday evening as well. And then we have Celebration Sunday coming up. So Sunday, June 26th is Celebration Sunday. If you are interested in being baptized, doing a rededication, a profession of faith, we would love to hear from you. So you can call the office, register online. We'll set up an appointment to meet with Pastor Steve and Aaron, and you can come in and talk about what God's doing in your life. And
had a few meetings so far.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good.
The list is starting to build.
Yeah. So,
no, it's good.
It is good. Yes. And then that next week, first, after Celebration Sunday, after the 11 o'clock service, we have a congregational meeting as well. So at that congregational meeting, members will be voting on new elders and deacons to be added to our consistory. If you are not a member, you're still welcome to come to that, but members vote for the elders and deacons. And so that is after Celebration Sunday on June 26th. And then that week, we also have a photography class that's going to be starting. So it looks at photography and faith. And so we're excited for that as well. So if you are interested in photography and how that all goes together, this might be a fun thing to check out this summer.
Marlis
Potma's going to be leading that.
But she has a gallery going at the family restaurant, right?
Yes. Newton Family Restaurant. She's got some.
See a bunch of pictures on the wall there. Those are hers.
So, yeah.
She's good.
Right. Yeah.
She's good. Yep.
So we're excited for that. I'm thinking
be a good teacher.
Can I add this one to the gallery?
No. No, that's bad. Yeah. Yeah, that's so he has this app that ages you about 50 years, and I look really old and wrinkly. So, it's terrible.
Can I add this one?
No. That would be the wig over there.
Marcy wearing the wig and just looking
happy. Right. That's
you look
right.
So
that's
joyful.
Right. It's just good. That's right.
I feel like I have a lot to contribute to this photography class.
I don't think that's quite what she's looking for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
maybe next time.
That's right. So let's see. 4th of July parade also. I think that the 4th of July parade registration is not on the website anymore. It is closed, Jen says, but we would still love for you to walk with us. So you can still come on the 4th of July and walk in the parade. It's a great outreach opportunity.
We're going to pass out candy to kids. And we got some little calendar magnets that we're going to pass out. And then we actually have Deb Clymer and her team are going to have a booth or a tent set up. They're going to be passing out water and Freezy Pops and maybe a little something else for kids.
Yeah.
So
all kinds
exciting.
Of good things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
only
definitely.
Kids get the popsicles?
I mean, you are a big kid.
Well, that's what I like probably, to think.
Kids you could probably and big get. Kids. That's right. Yep.
It's always, you know.
And people who wear their kids' clothing.
I'm now the smallest one in my family. So
I take Jesus' command to have a heart of a child seriously.
Yep, that's right. So two other things. Kingdom Builders Men's Ministry is starting a couples Bible study also in July. And so that's going to be on Thursdays in July. They are going to be going through the book of Ruth. So you can find more information on our website. Register there as well. So we're excited for that too. That's coming up in July. And then I wanted to let people know also, Aaron, that in July, not on July 3rd, but the other Sundays in July, so the 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st, so there's four Sundays in July where Alicia is going to be offering a Little Sparks group. So it's for kids going into preschool and into kindergarten. And so usually they stay for announcements during the service and the worship time of the service. And then during the offering part of the service, those kids get dismissed and their parents can take them out to meet Alicia. And then she's got some fun activities to do with them. And
you know what I have to
parents
say to that?
Can pick them up after the service.
I raise a hallelujah. See, I missed part of Steve's message on Sunday because about 10 minutes in, my son's like, I got to go to the bathroom, Dad. And so there's constant running to the restrooms. There's constant look at what I'm coloring.
But, that's good. You know what, you know, though? So the first night of summer camp, the volunteers came in at 5:30 and we prayed before the evening started. And mm-hmm. I said, does anybody else want to pray? And Gideon was like, I'll pray. So he opened our prayer for us. Aww. And it was amazing. He was like, Jesus, awesome. Help us to have a wonderful night.
Yeah. Did he mention anything about tornadoes?
No.
Okay.
He
prays at dinner and he's like, thank you for this food. Please keep us safe from thunderstorms and tornadoes. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Emmett. Yeah, he's good. Obsessed with the weather. But anyway.
Good. So that's it. There's all kinds of things coming up. So go to our website. Find
stay
more
plugged in. Stay active.
Get registered. That's yep. right. Yeah.
Good. Well,
lots of ways to plug in.
We hope to see you this week or weekend at some point. So thanks for Absolutely. Tuning in. And if you need anything in the meantime, please don't hesitate to reach out. God bless.
Have a great week.
Bye.